Our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Now, we said last time that history tells us that both the Greeks and the Romans were interested in athletics. Their interest in athletics was not only for their physical well-being, but also for the honor of their towns and countries. It was a patriotic thing to be a good athlete and to bring glory to one's own country. We also said that we find here in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews that the writer combined these two themes of athletics and citizenship. The atmosphere in the chapter is that of athletics, the event being foot racing in the arena. And we can see the runners laying aside their training weights and striving to run their races successfully. Some get tired and weary, while others press on, enduring to the end, and they win the prize. First, the writer pictures the race in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. And then he emphasizes citizenship in the heavenly city in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 29. We also said that in the minds of his readers, these two themes would go together, because no one could take part in the official games unless he was a citizen of the nation. In other words, you can't run the race until you are a citizen of the country that participated in the race. So with this background in our minds, we began our study of Hebrews chapter 12. And we also mentioned that the main theme that runs through this chapter is endurance. Endurance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The Jewish believers who received this letter, they were getting weary and tired, and they wanted to give up. But the writer encouraged them to keep moving forward in their Christian lives, like runners on a racetrack. He's telling them to press on with endurance. The Apostle Paul exhorts us In Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to 14, Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 to 14, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You see those words there? Straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on, forgetting what lies behind. I press on toward the goal for the prize. It's like a race that he's describing here. Toward the end of his life, Paul could say in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verses 6 to 7, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The writer of Hebrews pointed out three divine resources that encourage a Christian to keep going on when the situation gets difficult. Number one, the example of Jesus, the Son of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 4. Number two, the assurance of the love of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. Number three, the enablement of God's grace. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 29. Now, we looked at the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in verses 1 to 4. And now we will look at the assurance of the love of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 13. And this was the text that I read to you at the beginning. The key word in this portion of scripture, Hebrews 12, 5 to 13, the key word is chastening. Chastening. The ESV also uses the word discipline for chastening. The Greek word is paideia, and it means child training, instruction, discipline. A Greek boy was expected to work out in the gym until he reached his maturity. It was a part of his preparation for adult life. So, the writer of Hebrews viewed the trials of the Christian life as spiritual discipline that could help a believer mature in faith. So instead of trying to escape the difficulties of life or the trials of life, we should rather be exercised by these trials so that we might grow. As a believer in Christ, what is the trial that you are going through right now? Whatever that trial may be, make sure you get trained by it. Make sure you get trained by that trial. Get exercised by the trial and you will grow. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Now when we are suffering, it is easy to think that God does not love us. So the writer gave three proofs that chastening comes from the Father's heart of love. First, he gives us the proof of the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 to 6. Hebrews 12 verses 5 to 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now this quotation is from Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 to 12. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. This is a statement that his readers had known, but they had forgotten. This is one of the sad consequences of getting dull toward the word of God. Remember Hebrews chapter 5 verses 11 to 12? Getting dull, dull of hearing. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 11 to 12. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. This quotation, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6, it actually is an exhortation. An exhortation literally means encouragement. Because they forgot the word of God, they lost their encouragement and they were ready to give up. The key words in this quotation are son, children, and sons. Son, children, and sons. And these words are used 6 times in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 5 to 8. They actually refer to adult sons and not little children. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5, the King James Version reads, Hebrews 12 verse 5, the King James Version, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. The word children in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5 should actually be sons. Sons. The ESV translates it correctly as sons. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5, I'm reading from the ESV now. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. A parent who repeatedly chastens an infant child would be considered a monster. God deals with us as adult sons because we have been adopted and given an adult standing in God's family. Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 18. Romans chapter 8 verses 14 to 18. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So, we have been adopted and given an adult standing in God's family. Galatians chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. Galatians chapter 4 verses 1 to 7. I mean that the heir, as long as he's a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The fact that the Father chastens us is proof that we are maturing. Chastening is the means by which we can mature even more. Chastening is the evidence of the Father's love toward us. Now, Satan wants us to believe that the difficulties of life are proof that God does not love us. But just the opposite is true. Sometimes God's chastening is seen in his rebukes from the word or from circumstances. At other times, he shows his love by punishing. It says in the King James Version, the Lord scourgeth, scourgeth. He gives us physical suffering, like he did to David. When David did not confess and repent of his sin, God put him through physical suffering. David tried to hide his sin for almost 1 year. And God's hand was heavy upon him. It says in Psalm 32 verses 3 to 5, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, I'm reading from the King James Version. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 6, the King James Version. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." In Psalm 119 verse 67 we read, Psalm 119 verse 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." Psalm 119 verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Now, whatever the experience of chastening that we go through, we can be sure that God's hand of chastening upon our lives is controlled by his loving heart. The Father does not want us to be pampered babies. He wants us to become mature adult sons and daughters who can be trusted with the responsibilities of life. The second proof that chastening comes from the Father's heart of love is personal experience. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 7 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 7 to 11. "It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." All of us have had fathers, and if this father was faithful, he had to discipline us. If a child is left to himself, he grows up to become a selfish tyrant. The point that the writer makes here in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 7 to 8 is that a father chastens only his own sons. A father chastens only his own sons. And this is proof that they are his children. We may feel like spanking the neighbor's kids, and our neighbors may also feel like spanking our kids, but we can't do that. We can't do that. You can only spank your own kids. God's chastening is proof that we are indeed his children. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 8. "If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." Now, there are people who profess to be saved. They profess to be born again. But for some reason they say they have never experienced any chastening. If they disobeyed, they seem to get away with it. Now I want to make this very clear. If I resisted God's will and did not experience his loving chastening, it means that I am not saved. All true children of God receive God's chastening. All others who claim to be saved but who escape chastening, they are all counterfeits, illegitimate children. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9. "Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? Now, why do earthly fathers correct their kids? It is so that their children might show them reverence, respect, and obey what they command. This is why the Heavenly Father corrects us. He wants us to reverence Him and obey His will. A child who does not learn subjection to authority will never become a useful, mature adult. Any of God's children who rebel against His authority are in danger of death. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9, shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The suggestion here is that if we do not submit, we might not live. There is a sin unto death. 1 John chapter 5 verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. We can see now how this 12th chapter relates to the five exhortations in Hebrews. As a Christian drifts from the word of God and backslides, the Father chastens him to bring him back to the place of submission and obedience. If God does not chasten, that means that person is not truly born again. If a believer persists in resisting God's will, God may permit his life to be taken rather than allow his child to ruin his life further and disgrace the Father's name. God might permit him to die. Remember, God killed thousands of rebellious Jews in the wilderness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 to 12 we read, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 to 12. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Now, why should God spare us when we sin? God is not going to spare us when we sin. Certainly, this kind of chastening is not His usual approach, but it is possible. And we had better show Him reverence and fear. God chastens us for our good, so that we might share His holy character. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. The very fact that we are alive today in these perilous times is so that we may live holy lives and serve God. There is a lost world that needs to be won for Christ, and we are alive to reach the lost world with the love of Christ through the gospel. When Jesus was on earth and you asked Him the question, why did you come into this world? He would give you the answer in Luke chapter 19 verse 10. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That is what Jesus will tell you. Why did you come into the world, Lord? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The third proof that chastening comes from the Father's heart of love is the blessed results of that chastening. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 11 to 13. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 11 to 13. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. No chastening at the time that it is done is pleasant, either to the Father or to the Son. But the benefits are profitable. Very few children believe the statement that their parents make when they are being punished by them. Parents make this statement. This is the statement. This hurts me more than it hurts you. When they're disciplining the child, the parent says, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." The child may not believe that, but that is absolutely true. This is the heart of the Father. The Father does not enjoy having to discipline his children. God is not a sadist. The Father does not enjoy having to discipline his children, but the benefits after the chastening makes the chastening an evidence of his love. Now, what are some of the benefits of chastening? Number one, for one thing, there is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Instead of continuing to sin, the child strives to do what is right. He learns to live a righteous life. God not only imputes righteousness into our lives, he also imparts righteousness into our lives. The moment we are saved, God declares us righteous. That is imputed righteousness. By the blood of Jesus, he declares us righteous. Then he imparts righteousness into our lives. One of the means by which God imparts righteousness into our lives is through chastening. There is also peace instead of war. Note, it says the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Chastisement is necessary for peace. This reminds me of the cross and the Father's love. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, we read, Isaiah 53 verse 5, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed." Jesus took the chastisement that we deserved so that we could have peace. The Father loved us and gave us his only begotten Son. John chapter 3 verse 16, reading from the King James Version. John chapter 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Because Jesus died for us on the cross, we have peace with God. Jesus paid the penalty of our rebellion so that we can have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, when chastisement has completed its course, then rebellion has ceased and the child is in a loving fellowship with the Father. Number two, chastening also encourages a child to exercise in spiritual matters. like meditating on the Word of God, Bible study, prayer, witnessing. All this becomes a real necessity. All these spiritual exercises become real when we go through chastening. A hunger for true spirituality becomes real when we go through chastening. All of this leads to a new joy. Paul describes it as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The important thing is how God's child responds to chastening. He can treat it lightly, despise it, or faint under it. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 5. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. Both these reactions are wrong. If the believer responds correctly to chastening, he will show reverence to the Father by submitting to the will of the Father. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? The believer should use the experience to exercise himself spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 11. For the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. To those who have been trained by it. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 7 to 8, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Hebrews chapter 12 verses 12 and 13. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be put out of joint but rather be healed. These verses sound like an order of a coach to his team. Lift up your hands. Strengthen those knees. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 3. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Get those lazy feet on the track. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 26. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. It's like the command at the beginning of the race. On your mark, get set, go. So, the example of God's Son and the assurance of God's love certainly should encourage us to endure in the trials of the Christian race. But there is a third resource, which is the enablement of God's grace, which we will study in Hebrews chapter 12 verses 14 to 29. And we will look into those verses, God willing, next time. Let us pray.